Welcome, and thank you for joining today's conference, ARS Education Series, a new tech solution to support families with special needs. I'm joined today by Tom Winnick, Head of Business Development here at ARS, and Debbie Neiman, VP of Financial Service Integrations at Hope Trust. All audio lines have been muted. Please type any questions you may have throughout the call into the Q&A box and press send. Questions will be addressed during the Q&A portion of this call. Today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements. All statements made that are not historical facts are subject to a number of risks and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially. Please refer to ARS's website for important legal and disclosure information. And with that, I turn the call over to Tom Winnick.
Thank you very much, Rachel. And good afternoon, everyone. And thank you very much for joining us on our call today. A big part of our legacy over the last 50 years at ARS Investment Partners is to treat clients like family. An important component of that relationship is education. Whether it is our outlook, which we publish several times a year, where we try to make sense of events happening in financial markets, government policies, and other secular trends we've identified, or our call today, which is our first in the ARS Education Series. On today's call, as Rachel had mentioned, through our partnership with Hope Trust, we'd like to introduce a tech-enabled solution which we think is vital to support those of us in the special needs community, as well as discuss other services and programs that offer assistance to special needs families. We here at ARS have been involved in the special needs community dating back to 2004 when we began investment management services for special needs trusts. In 2013, we developed a series of customized ETF models to manage our special needs trust client accounts. We refined our investment process to enable us to manage client accounts with minimums that are just a fraction of what the big firms require. And as with all of our clients, access to the insights and judgment of the ARS investment team, as well as our world-class client services team, are part of our value proposition. If you go to the next slide, Rachel. I won't get into all the nuts and bolts here of how we're managing the ETF models, but we do have five distinct ETF models, which range from capital preservation to growth, which we look to meet the goals and objectives of each of our special needs client accounts. And of course, our ETF models emphasize ARS's traditional strength, which aligns our macro outlook with sector and security positioning inside the portfolios. With that, what I'd like to do is bring Debbie in here and start the conversation with just a couple of questions, if I could, Debbie. What does special needs mean? You know, what is a disability and how common are special needs and disabilities in the U.S. today?
Great question. So the answer is it depends on the individual. For some families, it's an individual with autism who may be very highly functional, maybe lives independently, works, drives a car, but paying those bills at the end of the month, managing their finances is just not there, and they need that kind of support. For someone else, it could mean that they need around-the-clock supervision or support, or they need physical help with all aspects of their life, or someone coordinating all of their care. For someone else, it may be training helpers or caregivers, making sure they're not exploited online, cooking and cleaning, or supporting them so they stay clean from a drug addiction and that they're maintaining the therapies and medications that treat their mental illness to promote that success. There's 20% of Americans say that, you guys can't see my screen, correct? Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure. before I get too far, 20% of Americans say they're supporting an individual with disabilities, either financially and or by caregiving for them. That's 1 in 5. So think about that for a minute. When you think about the people you know or the people you work with, 1 in 5 is doing this. Medicine has advanced so that individuals who used to not live into adulthood are. Those with an array of disabilities are getting the interventions and therapies at earlier ages, promoting more independence and opportunities to live in the community. But there's a lot of support that comes with that. And who steps in when those who are primarily providing it are no longer able or here to do so? Special needs is not so special. And this is why ours, ARS, is working with Hope Trust. We're a company created, founded, led, and staffed by family members with loved ones with special needs. We truly get it, not just as professionals working with individuals who happen to have disabilities, but as people who face many of those same challenges in our own home. So we were founded, Hope Trust was founded by legal and banking professionals who have their own family members with special needs. Despite serving special needs families in their professions, they too struggled with collaboration of all the different disciplines of professionals for their own child. Knowing how challenging it was for themselves, they worried about the impact of on their other adult children when they were no longer here and that responsibility was going to have to pass. Our board of directors are also made up of highly educated and connected business executives and family office leaders who have family members with special needs. And like our founders, they were challenged as professionals in the space and asked, well, if we are, how were those other 30 to 60 million other families who were not professionals in this space figuring this out? There simply was not a solution until Hope Trust. So my story is also as one of the staff members here at Hope Trust who has a child with special needs, a loved one. This is my daughter, Cecilia. She's 17 years old. Obviously, I'm very proud and biased, but she has cerebral palsy, a complex medical history. She was born 3 months premature. She loves to laugh, ride roller coaster rides. She likes to joke with her friends. She loves all the pop music now and is a big game show junkie. She's actually watching Price is right now. It's her favorite. But she has an ever-changing list of providers, doctors, therapists, caregivers, medications, and treatments. Her schedule of appointments, therapies, procedures, on top of her frequent inpatient stays in the hospital, is daunting on the best of days. Her care requires precision that really has no room for error. And so my family, we were challenged quite a bit. There was no one central place for all of this information and any important documents. I was constantly spending time trying to make sure that the most updated information was not only kept in a document, but then disseminated with everybody who was involved in her care. I'm divorced, much like many of these families in special needs. And so how was I able to make sure that dad had everything he needed that was most up to date when she was with him, or if God forbid something happened to me, that he could step right in and be the primary caregiver for her. Just because something happens to me doesn't mean that her care can pause. It's taken me 17 years to get this into this well-oiled machine. He didn't have another 17 years, or he wouldn't have another 17 years to figure it out. We needed him to hit the ground running. My daughter being 17 and a half, we're in the middle of transitioning from pediatric to adult care. That's daunting as well. Trying to keep myself organized of, okay, which specialty have we moved over and not, and who's the current physician and everything. It's been a challenge. And then every time we have a new caregiver, a para, a nurse, she goes to a new camp. How did they have the latest and greatest information and get them brought up to speed while making sure any of the sensitive information was shared only with those or who needed to see it? So my goals were to one, give myself a little more flexibility and ease. I was spending so much time trying to keep everything updated and disseminated with everyone. I wanted peace of mind. I wanted to make sure everybody had the same information, that it was the most up to date, so I could relax and know that no matter what happened, even if I got taken out by the proverbial bus, everything would be handled for her. I wanted it to also allow me flexibility so that I had more time for myself or to make memories and just be a mom to my kids instead of the COO running the company of Cecilia, basically. And I wanted to have a B team so that, again, I could take time for myself and be a better mother to my children. I wanted to make sure that my other children, when they became adults and I was either old or unable to care for Cecilia anymore or no longer here, that their lives, while they would be involved with their sister, they wouldn't have to take on this burden and alter their career choices, their spouse choices, their family planning, or anything like that. I share this with you because I too was a professional helping families with their special needs planning. My clients were facing similar challenges and wanting solutions just like my own. And it was Hope Trust that helped fill in between the disciplines and really bring all of it together, everyone and everything. So I'll intersperse my own experiences through this presentation.
Debbie, what are the necessary pieces of a comprehensive special needs plan?
Yeah, there's many parts. And what I found is that many families, sorry, I'm working from two screens, so if it looks like I'm looking away, that many families either don't know where to begin or what's involved, or they think that special needs planning is the whole thing is just they need to add a special needs trust to their estate plan. But the reality is there are four major pillars that are essential to making a special needs plan do what families want. First is the financial piece, the money, using an ABLE account, preserving cash so that that individual can be supported throughout their life and maintain the lifestyle. But part of that is understanding government benefits. Again, I see so many families leaving money on the tables because they simply don't know, or it's so complex. It's a science in and of itself. But this decreases the out-of-pocket that families need to support the individual. And it also often is the only gateway to some of the disability support services in the community. But in order to qualify for those government benefits, an individual usually has to meet some pretty strict asset and income limitations. Generally, those assets have to be $2,000 or less. And so how do you leave inheritance or support or finances or assets to an individual, and that requires some legal aspects, which is special needs trusts. It protects that government benefit eligibility. And then finally, how does that trust in the document and the assets in it translate into the unique individual, their needs, what makes them tick and wants, and everything that the succession village, if you will need in order to support the individual? And that's where life care plan and care coordination comes in. So many families might get to one or two pieces of this, but are often missing great aspects of the planning. And each piece is important for it to do what families want.
And then how much will it cost? You have it here, actually, how much to support your loved one throughout their lifetime.
Yeah. And that's a question so many families ask, like, well, how much does it cost? Or if you ask them, you know, when they say, well, I took out a life insurance policy, or we have this much assets, you know, you ask, well, do you know if that's enough? First, families really need to figure out the vision. Many families, especially when they have younger individuals or who have always supported the individual, haven't really thought much about, well, what if you're not here anymore? And so it's a hard thing to think about, but to step back and really think about, where do you want them to live? Does that mean there's changing states? If it is, then their government benefits may not all carry over with them, or they may look very different in a different state, or there may be a wait list before they can access them. So those kinds of things need to be considered. I have found that some families, sometimes they may not know even where to start or what's even available out there. So I usually say, well, then tell me what you know you don't want for your loved one. And generally, most families can say, well, they definitely shouldn't live with this family member, or, you know, my biggest fear is dot, dot, dot. And so we can go from there. So we got to create the vision. But some other expenses we need to consider is, first of all, understanding that it's likely going to cost quite a bit more when mom and dad or whoever those primary caregivers are no longer here. We're going to have to replace that. And if we're being really honest of what this looks like, probably most families don't have a long list of people standing outside their door saying, hey, I want to fill your shoes and I'll do it for free. So some, if not all, of the support that mom and dad dad, or family members may be providing may need to be hired. I don't charge my daughter to coordinate her care or take her to her doctor's appointments, pick up her prescriptions or anything like that. So those are some things that need to be considered. Additionally, disability progression and what aging looks like with this disability. For some disabilities, I'll take Down syndrome, for example, the life expectancy may be much shorter than the average person. Usually it's like 55 or 60. However, early onset dementia is very common. And if you're going to have to pay out of pocket for dementia care for 5 to 10 years, that's something that has to be considered. Other people might have a neurodegenerative disease and end up, they may walk today, but by 30 or 40, maybe in a wheelchair. The lifestyle change, the accommodations when it comes to vehicle and home, significantly different and often not covered by many government benefits, or may, but only one per life, you know, a wheelchair for a lifetime. Well, they break, they only last so long. So these are things that families need to think about. But it's not just those needs. It's also, you know, what are the wants? What is the lifestyle you want? Does your loved one go to an adaptive camp every summer that they love? Are they really involved in Special Olympics? Maybe your loved one always has season tickets to the local, you know, the Major League Baseball season tickets or whatever, or vacations, travel, whatever that may be. You got to add those things in. And that's where I see families are often forgetting, because it's just inherent to them. They're just doing that or providing it. But that's going to need to be built into the budget. And then finally, government benefits. Again, not just today, but in the future. And what if those programs change? It's not that government benefits are going to go away. It's that they are usually some of the first to be on the cutting block when we're talking about government benefit, or excuse me, budget cuts and things like that. So, or if somebody would lose eligibility. So we want to make sure we're kind of looking at all the scenarios when we're coming up with the cost. Now, this can seem very daunting and overwhelming, but that's where Hope Trust comes in, and we can work with individuals and their advisors with our platform, because we have a tool that creates a lifetime budget. Again, as I was saying, you may have a 20-year-old with Down syndrome right now, but you need to also figure out what is that expense going to look like when they're 50, but that's not what the cost is going to be from now until 50. And so we have a dynamic lifetime budget that allows you to make expenses change over the lifetime of an individual. With that tool, it analyzes funding sources. It can include both current and anticipated government benefits, and it can run different scenarios. But it can look at and determine if there's any gaps and quantify how much that is. So instead of families having to say, well, I think I have enough, or I feel like I have enough, they can actually say, I know I have enough, or I don't have enough, but now I'm working with my financial advisor to figure out the gaps. So let me pull that up. So you can see it. Yep. So here's our tool, and you can see up at the top the financial circles here, talking about current expenses. And so when we build this budget, we can go in and add an expense. We have a drop-down list so that families don't forget the little things, like I was saying, the replacement cost of a loved one who's providing care for free right now. But thinking about all the different kinds of expenses that potentially they would need. If somebody has a shortened life expectancy, let's change that. The projected age is going to be when they're 70 or 60 or 50. Maybe it's an expense that you don't need until the future. You can change when you need that expense to start. And then also talking about the cost, and then the if it changes with inflation. So you can come up with all different kinds of expenses over the lifetime of the individual. Then any assets that you think are going to be utilized to fund this need. Now, you know, in my family, I have three kids. So a third of everything I have, in, you know, from an initial analysis would be in going to Cecilia. So you can put in, when you add an asset, how much is going into this? It would be a third. You can, if it's an asset with debt, you can put that on there too. So the analysis is running that, you know, such as a maybe a primary residence, if you still have a mortgage, those kinds of things. Then you can look at the income. Is this individual going to work? My daughter, that is not going to be the case. But I know many who are saying, yeah, my kid's, you know, 30 years old, has been working at Walmart. They're making, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month or whatever. You can input that. But they're probably not going to work till the end of their life. They're going to work till maybe 50 or 60 or 65. You can input those different expenses as they, incomes as they go through life, as well as government benefits. And then finally, we have what we call our MITO, which stands for Meet Your Trust Objectives. And so this is where it runs a Monte Carlo, which for those that are not in the financial world, that is the financial analysis that most analytical tools are utilizing, but it takes into consideration all government benefits, anticipated assets and stuff, and really looks at, okay, how much do we need? How much is it going to cost over the lifetime of this individual based on the life expectancy that's been put in? And that's what we have here. And then how much do I have, which is available assets for funding this? And is there a gap? And if there is, which is here, yeah, it is. You got this much short. And so this is, we run it both with and without government benefits. Again, not that government benefits are going away, but we want families to understand with their advisors. Let's look at, you know, I always say, let's hope for the best, but let's plan for the worst case scenario. It's making sure that we have everything covered so that you can have those answers to, do we have enough? How much is it going to cost? And do we have enough? Let me go back to my presentation. So another question that many families ask is, how will my successors have the needed information to provide support? And it's a daunting task. First of all, you got to get everybody on the same page. And I can speak very, very personally for this situation. Again, my kid's dad is a surgeon. So I made the assumption several years ago that he just was keeping up with all of her crazy medical stuff until, and again, this is not a knock on him. This is just the reality of how most of us are functioning, trying to survive. But a couple of years ago, he had the day off and said, well, I'll take her to that doctor's appointment. I said, great. And 3 hours later, and we live in a city that takes no more than 30 minutes to get anywhere, he said, I'm almost there. Where are you? He had driven her across the state to go see a physician she hadn't seen for 5 years, because that's who he thought her current one was. And that's when I started asking questions and realizing, oh my gosh, he doesn't know the current stuff, because he either had outdated information or I had never shared it with him, just because I was managing everything. But if I got taken out by the proverbial bus, how was he going to be up to speed? And then it started dawning on me, well, what if we both got taken out? Like, who's going to know all this stuff and where to go? And there's just so many pieces to it. So that's where our platform can really get everybody involved in this, that supports this individual, on the same page, working from the same information. That's such a big deal. My kid's dad at one point showed me a document that had my daughter's medications on it. And I said, that's from 2 years ago, but there was no date on it. He didn't know. I mean, so that's where we wanted to make sure that everything was in the same place. The other piece is that my daughter has so many case managers, whether it's nurse staffing, home nurses, PCAs, that school, all of that, who all need this information, but trying to make sure that each person has the most updated information is ridiculous. And it's just letting so many errors come through. And again, for my daughter, we don't have room for error. So the platform really allows everybody to be on the same place, working from the same information. And each individual that has access has unique access. So they're only accessing what they need to. So they don't see everything. They just see what they need to. So let me show you a little bit more on this, on our portal here. This one. So as you can see, you can add anybody you need to on here. For my daughter, I have her case managers, I have her teacher, I have her PCA, I have her home health nurse, I have dad, I have me, and I have my brother, who is her guardian if both of us get taken out. At the click of a button, I can immediately export this list for anybody. So if we have, you know, the school starts tomorrow, I just clicked this list and emailed it right off. And it says who the emergency contacts are and who the primary are. But it gets everybody on and they each have different access. So her teacher sees the health part, but doesn't see any of the financial pieces. Our financial advisor can see the finances piece, but he doesn't need to see all the medical stuff. I have my, it's not my husband, my ex-husband, my kid's dad. We have Cecilia's, all of her documents here. My concern was if I got taken out by the bus, I have all of her social security card, birth certificate, some of her medical stuff. I have the original documents here in my home. If we're being really honest, death does not bring out the best in families, especially divorced families. And I had a hard time believing that my family would say, yeah, go ahead and rummage through Debbie's house until you find what you need. So now he has everything he needs, the documents right at his fingertips available so that he can hit the ground running if God forbid something happened to me. Finally, also with my daughter, her medications is another thing that is constantly changing and evolving. And so again, trying to keep that list up to date, I was trying to do it from a Google document and then email it to dad. It was a mess. It was, things were getting forgotten and not updated. And so this allows me, because it's mobile, this app is mobile, I have it open whenever my daughter has a doctor's appointment. So again, if we get hit in a car accident, I don't make it on the way home from the doctor's appointment, I've already made the update. So he knows who the physician is that prescribed it, what it is, where we pick it up, everything. Again, it's just making our lives so much easier, but it's giving me peace of mind. So another piece of this is not just kind of what's current and going on, but all the history. Not just the medical, but the behavioral, the educational, the emotional, the vocational, the likes, the dislikes, the fears. How much support does somebody need? So many families, when they do their estate plan with a special needs trust, may have a letter of intent. It's a couple page document. It kind of says, these are my dreams and wishes for my loved one. And here's a couple of important details you should probably know about them. But it doesn't keep up with the everyday, around the clock, the whole history. It doesn't get all into depth. A life care plan, that's what a life care plan does. It needs to be something that's easily able to keep up to date, but it tells you everything you need to know about this individual. What are good gift ideas? That's usually not in a letter of intent. You know, if this person travels and they love to vacation, how do they travel? If it's somebody on the spectrum who cannot get in an airplane, you probably need to know that, but they love going to Disney World. Or, you know, for my daughter, how much support does she need when she's showering? That would be helpful for the people that are coming in behind us to support her so that instead of spending the next 17 years trying to figure out, well, can she wash her hair? That they already have those answers right there. And so that's where our life care plan on our platform really allows that. We have a 6,000 question database. Sorry, I keep flipping back and forth, but I think it's easier to see this. We have a 6,000 question database. Nobody answers all 6,000 questions, but it pulls out all that information that somebody would know. All the questions are smart links. So if you check my child has Down syndrome, you're answering questions about that, but not necessarily, you're not answering questions about cerebral palsy and vice versa. We have it broken down into categories so that it's not just the medical. Like I said, it gets down into the nitty gritty. It's stuff that if I were to tell somebody what my daughter needs, I can tell her the main stuff, but there's things that I do so often that I don't even think about that I wouldn't even think to mention, but the database asks the right questions so that whoever's coming in behind me has those answers. Again, because so much of this becomes second nature. You know, that was one of the things I realized again a couple of years ago when I was talking to dad. It wasn't just those things. It was like, hey, don't start an IV in this arm. That vein always blows. Or, you know, we've tried these medications. Don't go back to them. They didn't work for her. I realized that I had all this stored in my head. Well, where does that go if something happens to me? It goes with me. So again, we just want to make sure that families have all that information. And I can tell you very personally, when I set this up for my daughter, I didn't even realize how much stress and burden that was on my shoulders that was relieved until I had finished it. But anytime I go in and make an update, it's already updated. And with the click of a button, you just push this full care plan. I call it the Book of Cecilia. is immediately available in a PDF in natural language. It pulls all the answers and puts it by category in a book that you can either email or print off and give to anyone. So that is the life care plan that really helps not just the caregivers, but when you think about, I have a funded trust, and how are we supposed to use this to give this person meaning and life and what is intended for this individual? It helps with that so that everybody knows exactly what is going on. Okay. So what can I do today to increase the flexibility for my family? Well, and this is something that is really helpful. So first of all, starting sooner is key. I have found that many families seem to think that down the road, or when child turns 18, or, you know, when I'm nearing retirement, that's when I need to start my planning. Please don't do that. You need to start it now. This is a huge plan. There's so many aspects to it, and so much work that goes into it. It can be daunting. So I'm going to be very honest and upfront about that. We do have services that help families gather all this information and input it for them. Some people simply are intimidated by technology. Some people don't have the time on top of everything else they're doing. So we understand that. You know, for my daughter, like I said, this really gave me peace of mind, but it also freed up my time. I no longer have to make sure, going back when I update information, I don't have to go to each individual. They have access. So whenever they need anything, they just log in and pull it. It's saved me emails and phone calls from case managers and from the school and everything else. It's all there at their fingertips, and it's wonderful. Whenever she's a new PCA, or like today, I'm going up to the school because she's a new para. I have the book printed out, hand it to her, and we can just go through it. So it's just making our lives so much easier. It allows me to go have time for myself, as well as take a vacation here and there, which for those of us that are caring for someone, self-care is really important. But at the end of the day, just make sure that no matter what happens, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, that I know that my daughter's taken care of. And so that at the end of the day is really important. So one of the final questions that we hear many families ask is, who's going to take care of my loved one when I'm no longer here? I have heard so many families sit across the table from me and say, I can never die. Either because I don't want this to fall on somebody else, or we simply don't have anybody else in our lives or our family that can step into our role. So what do we do? Well, we were founded by those who were asking those same questions, whether it's bill pay, coordinating care, home maintenance, case management, planning a vacation. They worried about what's going to happen if this person outlives me. And so we have an interdisciplinary team that provides those kinds of services. We ensure that that there's access to government benefits. Some of our services are with nurse case managers that are also social workers. What we found is that because we want to get as much support there as possible so we can maximize it, many families were either not tapping into resources that were available or misunderstood them and thought their loved one didn't qualify. And so we have expertise for that to make sure that there's some pieces to help support and replace what mom and dad or whoever those loved ones may be, family members. And then making sure that life care plan, that's how we make sure that we really understand and know that individual person so that we can make sure all the planning that's taken place translates into the individual life and the needs and support and wants of that individual with disabilities. So again, when we ask who will take care of, when I say we have an interdisciplinary team of professionals, we have clinicians and we have professionals. So we have legal counsel, bankers, trust officers, but we also have psychologists, nursing, social workers, and therapists that are interfacing with the individuals with disabilities. We understand that for some families, they don't need this service. They may have a big extended family that are all within, you know, geographically close to the individual with disabilities that can each take a piece. But for those families that can't, or when life throws a curveball to those family members who can't take it on, you know, what if your other adult child ends up having a child with special needs, or somebody's facing cancer, or there's a premature death? who's stepping in or who's that, I just call it B team or the B stream that's coming in. It gives everybody peace of mind, but then we're ensuring that that individual is supported. And so we understand here at Hope Trust, it depends on the family and the individual. Everybody's needs are so incredibly unique, especially in this market. So we have everything. We have our platform, as I have shared with you, and the technology that has the life care planning piece. You can keep track of all the providers, whether they're medical or service, medications, who's the emergency contacts, the schedules. Everything can be in one place. Great. If you need more than that, great. We have that as well. We can do anything, whether we're talking about those that have loved ones that are under 21. Sometimes that educational process can be quite daunting and overwhelming. We have experts that can help with the IEP process or 504s. Looking at government benefit analysis, we have specialists that can help with that as well. We found that so many families were spending so much out of pocket. What if there was a government benefit there for your loved one that they qualified for? And I just want to make special note, you know, my daughter's on a government benefit. She would never qualify if it was based on mom and dad's assets and income. But there are things out there that are often only looked at for the individual with disabilities. So again, tapping into that resource can be really helpful because it can free up assets that can then be utilized for other things for your family or paying for the things when you're no longer here for your loved one. But we have all different kinds of analysis. What is the cost going to be? What are the housing options that are available? What are, you know, what kind of accessibility do we need to be considering? I've had families say, we can't even figure out what the cost is because we don't know what's out there. And that's where we have services with experts for you to work with you as a family if you need that to figure out what those things are so that then you can determine the planning around that. And then finally, we have a network of partners that we refer to just like ARS that can help you with what is the funding plan, doing the asset and investment management, helping you get an ABLE account set up from a legal aspect, whether it's the estate planning and getting that special needs trust in place, or conservatorship or guardianship where appropriate. So we have a large network of referral partners. So just to recap here, when we're talking about special needs planning, there are many aspects of it and it's complex. And I understand, I can say this very firsthand as a parent of a child who's juggling that and she's in the other room, especially after this last year, I think with COVID, we've all had to learn to make ourselves even more than five people that we were already doing. It's a lot. It's a lot to take care of. And to do this planning is something in addition to everything you're doing on top of normal adulting. I get that. But I can tell you that getting all of this together, even taking baby steps, we can break the planning down and prioritize it into smaller pieces so it's manageable. But to be able to get everything together, everybody who's involved in that, I call it the village of support, they know who their roles, what their roles are and who else is in the village, if you will, and whose role is what. It just keeps things so much smoother. We work with your current professionals and experts. So we're here to step in where you need us and when you need us. We're not here to replace those trusted relationships or anything like that. So we work with whoever you have and what other pieces you have, we'll help you figure out how to get those other pieces if you don't know or don't have an advisor for those pieces or an expert. We make sure that all those worrisome questions that keep us up at night are answered so that you can sleep better. And then finally, just making sure that if life throws a curveball or when you get to a point that you need to hand over the reins or you're no longer here, that you know there is a group that is there to service and support your loved one. And our biggest thing at Hope Trust is we have our own family members with special needs. And so we treat our clients how we would expect our own family members to be treated. And that aligns quite a bit with what ARS does as well. Okay, so let's open it up for questions and answers. I went over quite a bit of information, so please let me know what I can answer here.
And please, everyone, if you just use the Q&A button on the bottom or the chat button to enter in your questions, we can take them. While we're waiting for that, Debbie, one question that has come in is Is this a benefit that companies can offer to their employees?
They could. We would need to work with those companies. So we have been having discussions with some bigger companies that are talking about adding this into their employee benefits, because they found that families that have loved ones with special needs, being able to provide this just makes them that much more productive and also a better employee. But when at home is easier and smoother, things at work are much better too. So we've seen that many companies are starting to have that conversation with us about adding this as an employee benefit.
Okay. And please use the question box or chat box. While we're waiting for questions, I do want to just mention a friend of friends of ARS that I wanted to note here before we close the call. And this is a gift shop that's on the east end of Long Island. It's out in Southold, New York. Like I said, the east end of Long Island. And the name of the shop is called One for All Gift Shops. And it's oneforallgifts.com for those of you not in the area. But it's run by Teresa and Sean DeMarco. Sean is on the autism spectrum, and their shop celebrates neurodiverse entrepreneurs. So folks that are out there that are neurodiverse will come up with products that they then sell through the gift shop. And you can either, like I said, stop in there, see Sean and Teresa, or if you'd like to shop online, which probably for most on the call is the better way to go, you could go to oneforallgifts.com. Which I would urge everyone to just check it out. There's some really cool things on the website there to shop around. So,
and then
do we have any questions? Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie.
Oh, I was just going to pull up the chat because it looks like there might be some questions in
okay.
there. I don't see any questions. I see comments. Okay. This is an incredible platform. Well, thank you. We think so too. And we're always making updates as we get more feedback and everything. But again, it was generated by and continues to be fine-tuned by individuals that have loved ones with disabilities.
Well, that concludes our call today. Thank you again. Please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Debbie at Hope Trust or any of the Hope Trust folks that are at the end of that phone number. Or please feel free to reach out to any of your ARS advisors or partners if there's any questions about anything that we've covered or, of course, any of our strategies. Thank you all very much for attending and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, Debbie.